morning and happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I'd just like to share some things with you. Easter Day is celebrated by family, friends, and visitors gathering together in praise and adoration of the risen Christ. As our joyful bells ring out in praise, Jesus' words of forgiveness from the cross reminds us that we too are forgiven. Wow! We can celebrate Easter Day with heartfelt thanks to our risen Lord and Savior and share his love and peace with others. Dear Lord, thank you for giving your life so that we can have eternal life in and through you. Amen. Okay, the bell choir is going to be playing the Hallelujah Chorus a little later on.
Welcome this resurrection morning to Myerstown Church of the Brethren. It's good to have you with us this morning, electronically, online, and we pray that this morning is a special blessing. I invite you to join me in a very traditional Easter greeting. Where you are, wherever you are in your home, goes like this: Christ is risen, and you respond, He is risen indeed. Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. I invite you to hear some words from Mark's Gospel. We've been going through Mark's Gospel during these Sundays in Lent. This is chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, Mark's version of the resurrection. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They'd been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
The nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, mock my name, my love for you is still and say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one. Again, come.
Watched a TV show. You're really into the story, and then the screen goes dark and these words pop up: to be continued. No, I can't wait. I want to know the ending now. Or you finish reading book one in what's intended to be a trilogy, and you find out that the second book in the series isn't going to be released for another 6 months, and book one leaves you hanging and wanting more. The Gospel of Mark is kind of like that. Mark leaves us hanging. And those ancient scribes making copies of his gospel must have felt that way too. What they did would have been considered acceptable back then. They added some alternate endings to Mark's work. That's why in most Bibles today you find this comment or something similar after Mark 16:8. The earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have verses 9 through 20. The earliest manuscripts and some writings of the early church fathers suggest that the original end of Mark's gospel is chapter 16, verse 8, an ending that leaves us hanging. Mark leaves us with three trembling, bewildered, fearful women who fled from the tomb and didn't say anything to anyone about what they saw. Mark includes no post-resurrection appearances and no commission to go into all the world, just three terrified and speechless women running away. What's that say about Mark? That his writing skills leave something to be desired? That he's not very good at beginnings and endings? You look back to chapter 1, verse 1, where he opens his gospel with these words, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ." He includes no birth narrative, no genealogies, no boy Jesus in the temple. Mark jumps right in with John the Baptist and Jesus' baptism. Well, to the contrary, personally, I think Mark was a very creative writer. When Mark opens his gospel saying it's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, he's not referring to just that sentence, but the whole book. Mark's whole gospel is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. The ending? Well, I think he leaves us hanging because the story isn't over yet. There's more to come. It's to be continued. During Lent, we've been on a journey with Jesus, a journey to Jerusalem, a journey to hope. Now, I confess I borrowed the title of this message, Surprised by Hope, from the title of a great book by one of my favorite contemporary writers, English pastor, teacher, and theologian, N.T. Wright. That title just fits so well with Mark's account of the resurrection. Three surprised and bewildered women caught off guard by the good news that was right before their eyes. They were surprised by hope. Let's recall for a moment some of those events of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. How three times Jesus had told his disciples what would happen in Jerusalem, and they just didn't understand. The encounters Jesus had along the way with a rich young man and a blind man named Bartimaeus, and the contrast in their reactions to Jesus. The expectations and the wishful thinking of the disciples, in particular Peter, who couldn't conceive of Jesus being arrested and killed in Jerusalem. James and John wanted the seats of honor when Jesus came in his glory. And then there were the events of the preceding week. The Passover meal in the upper room where Jesus reminded them again of his body that would be broken and his blood that would be shed. Judas' betrayal. Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. His trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin, King Herod, and the Roman governor Pilate. The hopes of those who had been with Jesus were dashed. According to Mark 16:1, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome were the women who came to the tomb on that first day of the week. These women had also been following Jesus and knew him well. They probably shared some of the same hopes as the disciples. For the better part of 3 years, hope was building. Jesus was the Messiah, the one who would restore Israel. And in 1 week, their hopes were dashed. Unlike the 12 disciples, these three were just women, a cultural understanding of the time, and they weren't a threat to the powers that be. So Mark says when Jesus was buried, they stayed inconspicuously looking on from a distance, and they saw where the body was laid. So on that dawn of that third day, they went back to the tomb where they had seen Jesus' body laid. The reason the women were going to the tomb says it all. The spices and the oils they brought with them were for anointing a dead body. Because Jesus died so close to the beginning of the Sabbath, there was no time to prepare his body for a proper Jewish burial. Who will roll away the stone? Their expectation is that they would find the tomb sealed and Jesus' body inside. Jesus was dead. Hope had died. How easy it is to lose hope. As with many of you, I'm part of a generation known as the baby boomers. We were born in the years immediately following World War II. We grew up in the 1950s and 60s. Those were boom times economically and times of new technological advances like TV in the 50s and the first computers and space exploration in the 60s and 70s. It was a great time to grow up. But because of that, I think many people in my generation are spoiled. We have this idea that it should always be the way it was back then. But things began to change in our teen years in the 60s and 70s. Music was changing because of the influence of that group from England, the Beatles and others. War broke out in a country on the other side of the Pacific Ocean, Vietnam. Many questioned why we were there. In 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated, and 5 years later, Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy. In the words of a Bob Dylan song, the times, they were a-changin'. But still, for many of us, the times were generally good. We graduated from high school, many went on to college or the military, and jobs were pretty plentiful. We baby boomers have had some pretty good years. The American dream was pretty attainable. Owning a home, raising a family, saving for our children's college education, putting some money away for retirement. Obviously, that was not true for everyone, but for many, it was attainable. You could look to the future with some hope. But then we entered the 21st century, and many of us started wondering what's happening to our world. Things like 9/11, prolonged wars and ongoing tension in the Middle East, things like Brexit and other issues in Europe, and now today the coronavirus. It's easy to lose hope. More recently, we are aware of the increasing disparity between the haves and the have-nots, the decline of the middle class, the increase in gun violence, all of those retirement accounts riding the roller coaster of the stock market. Issues we thought had been settled years ago around immigration and racism coming to the fore once again. It's easy to lose hope. And what's happening to our families? High divorce rates, even among Christians. Child abuse, even in the church. Increasing diagnoses of learning disorders and conditions such as autism and the challenges they present. It's easy to lose hope. Add to all that the stresses of the current massive job losses, depression, addictions resulting from medications that were supposed to be helpful, health issues as we age, loss of friends and family with whom we'd spent a lifetime. It's easy to lose hope. We say we hope things will change, but they never seem to. And really, what does that mean? We hope things will change. What is hope? Is it simply a wish for the future, a desire for things to be different, a wish that someone will do something to make the world a better place? I like what N.T. Wright says about hope. In his book, Surprised by Hope, this is what he writes. Hope for the Christian is not wishful thinking or mere blind optimism. It is a mode of knowing, a mode within which new things are possible. Options are not shut down. New creation can happen. Hope is what you get when you realize that a different worldview is possible. Hope, Wright says, is a mode of knowing. Knowing that a different world is possible. Knowing that things in our world, in our country, in our families, in our own lives can be different. Knowing there's a future filled with promise. Knowing new things are possible. That there are options which we have which lead to new life and new creation. Hope is the belief that there's a future that would be better than the present for ourselves, for this world, and for all creation. Wright's understanding of hope really echoes those sentiments of Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Confidence, assurance, knowing, hope. Have you ever had the experience of being completely caught off guard by something? Maybe something really good, like a surprise party, an unexpected check that arrives in the mail, or a refund on your taxes when you were expecting to have to pay out. Or maybe something unfortunate, like a traffic accident or an unexpected death of a friend or family member. How do you react? Are you speechless? Do your emotions take over? Do you experience a little trembling and bewilderment? The women who went to the tomb were completely caught off guard. They expected to have to move the stone or get someone to help them do so. But they found the stone was already rolled away. They expected to find Jesus in the tomb. Instead, there was a young man dressed in a white robe. They expected to anoint Jesus' body. Instead, they're told, "He has been raised. He's not here. Go tell his disciples." They were surprised by hope. Hope isn't wishful thinking or blind optimism. Hope is confidence. Hope is assurance. Hope is knowing, because hope is found in a person, the risen Jesus. Hope is alive because of his resurrection. Because he is alive, we have hope. Because Jesus is alive, we know new things are possible, that we have options and choices we can make, which can make our lives better in the here and now, and in the new world to come. New creation and new life can and will happen. As the hymn writer says, we have hope for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Why? Because hope is all about looking ahead. It's about trusting in God's promised future. In Mark 16:7, the young man dressed in a white robe told the women, "He's going ahead to Galilee where you will see him." And Jesus kept his promise, and Jesus is still going ahead, and he's still asking us to follow. Hope is the promise of the scriptures. Proverbs 23:18, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Lamentations 22:23 promises new possibilities for each day. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hebrews 6:18-20 offers assurance that Jesus is going ahead of us, making the way for us, inviting us to follow. The writer says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, Paul says, but Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. It's like that first ripe tomato is the promise there will be more to come. Jesus' resurrection is the promise there is more to come, that there is a resurrection coming. There is a future with hope. And then Titus 2:11-14 tells us that we are part of the story. Paul writes, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Hope is a mode of knowing. Hope is faith, trust, assurance, conviction, confidence that all of what Jesus and what God has promised is true. There's a future for us now, even in these stressful days. There's a future that will be ours with Christ and in God's presence. Hope is believing that new things are possible, that we have options, we have choices we can make that bring life and peace now. Hope is the conviction that God's new creation will happen. Our hope isn't tied to things like the economy, our checkbook balance, our job title, our educational degree. Hope isn't found in our human relationships, as good as they might be. Hope is not found in governments, political parties, or candidates. Hope is not found in a cure for COVID-19. True hope is something that we can't manufacture. Hope is found in a person, the risen Jesus Christ. Hope is ours because of an empty tomb. Hope is found in Jesus and the promises of his word. The angel said to the women, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples." Surprised by hope, they left the tomb, trembling and bewildered. They were afraid. We should not be surprised by hope. We have 2,000 years of testimony that Jesus is alive, that he has risen. We just need to believe. Mark's beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes to an abrupt ending because the story is to be continued. The story isn't over. We are part of the story. Well, those women did eventually tell. We know that from the other Gospels. Hope overcame their fears and doubts, and the good news of Jesus Christ continues to be told. Jesus kept his promise. He went ahead of them to Galilee, and his disciples saw him there. He's gone ahead for us as well. In Philippians 2, Paul writes these words. Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have hope because hope is in the person of Jesus Christ, whom God has exalted to the highest place, whose name is above every name, who has conquered sin and death, who is Lord of heaven and earth. I think Mark knew what he was doing when he ended his gospel with verse 8. He's inviting us into the story. He's inviting us to follow Jesus into that future filled with promise and with hope. He's inviting us to continue the good news of Jesus Christ, to help write the next chapter as we believe, as we follow, as we serve, as we love God in Christ, as God in Christ has loved us, as we live knowing, convinced that because Jesus is alive, hope is also alive and very, very real. That morning when Jesus rose, no one was expecting a resurrection. His disciples were in hiding. Three scared and confused women made their way to his tomb to anoint his body. The rest of the world went quietly about its business and knew nothing of this event which had changed the world. Today is quiet as well. We're not gathered together in our churches singing songs and hymns of celebration. We're in our homes wishing we could be together with family and friends. It's not the usual Resurrection Sunday experience for us. Looking out your windows, the world looks pretty much like it does any other day. Yet underlying this unusual day is the truest fact of all. The biggest news today isn't new coronavirus cases, death tolls, overcrowded hospitals, and empty churches. The truest fact of this day, and every day for over 2,000 years now, is that the tomb is empty. Love has triumphed over death. Hope has triumphed over despair. The truest fact of this day is that Jesus is alive, that there is hope, and death has not had the final word. Hope is found in the empty tomb. It is found in a person, Jesus, the risen Christ. This is the good news for us this day and always. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. God of the past, God of the present, and God of the future, although we, your people, are apart this day, we come to you as a community in joyous celebration. You have given us life. You have given us peace. You have given us hope through the resurrection of Jesus. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In these difficult days, we find our hope and strength in you. Because Jesus is alive, we know nothing can defeat us, not even death. The tomb is empty. This day, O God, give hope to those who have been diagnosed with the coronavirus and others who struggle with health concerns. Give strength and hope to first responders, doctors and nurses, those who go to work so those of us sheltering at home can have the services we're used to having, electricity to power our homes, internet service so we can stay in touch with one another, food on the grocery store shelves or delivered to our door. Give wisdom to those who are tasked with making difficult decisions for the benefit of us all. Give comfort to those who are confined to nursing centers or at home. We pray for your church. Remind us powerfully in these times that the church is not a building, but it is your people, wherever we are, sharing the good news that Christ is risen and serving in your name. Father, as your people, we choose to live with hope. Hope in you, born through faith in the resurrection of Jesus. May this hope we have sustain us in these days until that time we can once again gather as your children for fellowship and worship. On this joyous resurrection morning, we lift our hearts and voices in worship and praise. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.